So last week we talked about the principles. I think some of the principles we do have. Okay, let's prepare our hearts by praying first and giving this time to God. All right, so that God can be the one to prepare our hearts. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for all good things that you have done. And Lord, we know in thy word it is taught that whatsoever things are lovely, what things are kind, what things of good report, Lord, in Philippians 4:8, we are to think on these things. Lord, the world can have a lot of things that will distract us. And of late, we see things in the Middle East, things even in Singapore, and many things that are happening all over this world. And Lord, even with the world, Lord, getting closer and closer to sin and evil and the willingness to participate in the things of this world. Lord, help us to realize that the time is short and our hearts, Lord, need to be given over to you. We thank you for everyone who has made time to come for Sunday Bible Hour so that they might learn the things, Lord, that pertain to the kingdom of God. The things that are of your word, the things that are important in this life, the things that will help us to grow. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to teach us in a special way today about giving. That God, you teach us to give the way you want us to give. And Father, that the Bible verses will be very clear in our hearts. We pray for those who are not able to make it today. We pray that you would strengthen their lives wherever they are. If they are sick, I ask you to strengthen them. If they have things, Lord, they had to attend to. I remember Sister Anna in particular. I pray for Terry. Lord, I ask you to give her much grace, Lord, as husband deteriorates day by day. I ask you to help us also to avail ourselves in some of the slots that might be able to be a blessing to her. So, Lord, we commit this day, time into your hands. We ask you to teach us from your precious, precious word. And, Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And, Father, we facilitate that. Or rather, we are but your instruments. We thank you for the Brother Song Ling. And thank you for Joanna, who has been added to the local church. I ask you to strengthen them, Lord, in the things they need to grow in. That might be able to be a blessing to us as we want to be a blessing to them. For Brother Gideon as well, I ask you to help him to lead his family in a way that will honor you. Pray for Sister Marion and Maloney. I ask you to prepare their hearts even as they are going to take the step of baptism next. So, Lord, we thank you for all good things that you are doing for us. We ask you to speak to us in a special way. We pray also for the children's ministry, that you would use the children's team, Lord, in a mighty way, that the children that come might see Christ in them, might see the salvation in the word. Father, they might grow to love you all their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right, I'm just going to read through quickly the principles and our verses. I won't go through, but take about 3 to 4 minutes to that. Number one principle, everything belongs to God, right? We all agree with that. That's a biblical principle. God teaches that. Now, the next one, God gave us all things. God is the one who gave us all things. He gave us health to get wealth, Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. In Hosea 2, 8, God tells the children of Israel through Hosea, my people have forgotten that I am the one who gave them the corn and the wine and the riches and the gold. Okay? God gave us all things. Giving is a New Testament principle. In all the verses there, you have, give and it shall be given unto you. That's what the Bible says. The next one is giving really starts from the heart. Real giving starts from the heart. Now, I was thinking through again that I think it was Amy Carmichael who said, you can give without loving, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can give without loving. Like for example, a person maybe a beggar in Singapore, they do have beggars in Penang, they do have beggars, okay, and they'll just stand there and wait. Apparently, I was talking to Pastor Tur, he said, in Singapore, begging is more or less illegal, okay, more or less, okay, but in Penang, yeah, anywhere also you can just beg, all right, for money. And apparently, there was this old lady, I think she was quite trendy in her haircut, she was bald here, and then this hair here. And but then Pastor Tur knows her, apparently lah. So she came, Pastor Tur, and knocked and asked for a handout. So Pastor said, and then Pastor explained, now how can you beg when you have a cigarette in your hand? No, she has money too. So that means if you were to give the money to her, you'd probably spend it on other things. Okay, I had that experience when I wasn't with Jairo, I was at Bukit Panjang Plaza. So I was sitting there and there was this lady who said, sir, can you give me, I want to buy breakfast. So she said, okay, I'll give her $2. And then she took the money, then she looked back and then she walked out of McDonald's. I said, okay. But anyway, in terms of begging, okay, I can give it to her, but after that, of course, for me, I said, I'm giving to you because you need lunch or something because you said so. Okay? But you know, there are many people who give, like those people who give donations to charity and all that. Sometimes they give without really thinking twice. Okay? Just give without actually so-called loving in the way that God would have us to love. But you know what? We cannot love without giving. We cannot love without giving. We cannot love without giving. And that's a very important principle. Love will give. Because in our modern day society, love has become an emotional thing. Puppy love or I love you, the kind of songs that you have. That's not love. That usually is lust. Okay? But biblical love always gives. Always gives. Okay? Giving really starts from the heart. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8:5. And we went through, interestingly, Luke 11:37, giving cleans up our heart. That was what Jesus taught the Pharisees. Hey, you guys are always thinking about yourself. Why don't you just start giving alms of the things that you have? Don't just think about yourself. Give, because it helps you to clean up your heart. Okay? When we give, another principle, we are lending to the Lord. That's what Proverbs 19:17 says. It is better to give than to receive. Always better to give than to receive. That is what Jesus, our Savior, says. Okay? So what do we give? Okay, so to think ourselves, our heart, our money, our possessions, our time, our service, and I'm sure there are many, many other things that we can give to the Lord. Right? Any questions with the principles and the things that we give, or what do we give? Yeah, let me just see the aircon. Okay, today we're going to be moving on to two areas. How do I give to the Lord, and how do we use what is given as a church? And there are some questions there that we can discuss, and I will still try to finish by 10:30, all right? So time is... Okay, how do I give to the Lord? Let's turn to a few verses. I'll get people to read, as is our case, so that we can actually get the sense from the scriptures. All right, maybe we have Sister Shaoling, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Rasong Ling, Matthew 6, 33, and Sir Agnes, 2 Samuel 24:24. Then we'll all turn to Luke 21 afterwards. Then we have Brother Taylor and take 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, St. Elizabeth, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2, and Brother Ping Kwang, if you can take 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, St. Maria, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, and Auntie Janet, if you can turn to Luke 6, 38, okay? Right, so we just cover that, then we all turn to Matthew 6, 1 to 4, and the longer verses one we all turn to, okay? All right, how do I give to the Lord? Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Okay, Paul says to present ourselves. What does that mean? It means to give ourselves, present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Okay, Paul is paralleling, is that such a word? Paralleling. Paul is giving a parallel, all right, to the Old Testament burnt offering whereby you actually give your burnt offering. Okay, so in that situation, it's the giving. Now, what does that mean to give the offering to the Lord as a living sacrifice? Okay, the first principle, how do I give to the Lord? We need to begin by giving ourselves. Okay, I know you want to be up there. Right? It's more exciting, I think. We need to begin by giving ourselves. This involves presenting our whole being to God and everything that is ours. It's interesting, the burnt offering, I think I shared that before, The animal that has been sacrificed, it includes the entire being, the eyes, including the kidneys. Okay, the Bible actually talks in Leviticus chapter 1, 2, and 3, when talking about offering the animal, even the kidneys are used, different portions are used, the hooves and everything, those that are unclean will be burnt up, the rest will be used for the priest, for the poor, for the sacrifice to the Lord. Even the oil is also used, the fat is also used, all right, and for different things. So the entire sacrifice is used. So when Paul says, present ourselves as a living sacrifice, it involves everything that we are. That is the very first principle in our giving. How do we give? We need to begin by giving ourselves. Now, what does that include? Okay, I'll just kind of apply that. It would include our time, including our money, our talents, our families, our future, our bodies, and our obedience. All right? Now, of course, I'm sure you can add other things. Basically, everything that is important to us now becomes God's, because we present ourselves. Lord, I present my career into your hands. I present my future into your hands. I present my time into your hands. Lord, I present my money into your hands. I present my ambitions into your hands. Lord, I'm giving ourselves, myself, to you. Okay, any questions? As we go along this, feel free to stop me, all right? Number two, Matthew 6:33. Okay, Jesus said this to the Jews at that time. He says, seek ye first. It means look for first in everything that you do the kingdom of God. Okay? Anything that pertains to the kingdom of God and the right things and his righteousness. Everything that is right by your decisions. In other words, in every decision you make, in every direction you take, it has to be in line with biblical principle, in line with what God says in our career, in our relationships, in our friendships, in all that we do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, okay? And His righteousness. And Jesus says, and all the things that you need will be added unto you. Now, looking at this verse in application, it has to do probably with prioritizing, okay? In relationship to giving, it has to do with our priorities. Prioritizing in our giving, okay? Now, what are some biblical priorities that we must balance in our lives? What are some biblical priorities that we have to balance in our life that require our giving us? What are some of the priorities? Okay, so maybe Jerry, what are some priorities that God has given to us which are important in this world, in our own lives? Priorities. Work, what else? Work. Family, okay, what else? Church, okay, what else? For church, we talk about the church ministries and things. What else? Anything else? Sorry? Studies, okay, that will be part of work, okay? For the younger children and maybe for those studying, studies is your work, right? Okay, and for those who are working, then work is your work. So work, all right, work. Okay, what else? Anything else? So generally, they're actually broad categories, okay? Added one more is our relationship with God Himself, okay? It is an absolute number one priority, okay? So which of these is the most important? Our relationship with the Lord, of course, we know is primary. But under that, the Bible actually talks a lot about family, about work of the ministry, church, and about work. So which is the most important of the three, okay? Church, family, work. Does anyone want to venture? We talk about most important means what God says is most important, not what we think is most important. Anyone? Okay, family, okay, first the most important. Anything else? Sorry? All are important. Okay, so family most important, but they all are important. Anyone else want to add to that? Okay, so first the kingdom of God. Okay. All right. We need to have a unity of this because it's very, very important. Okay, I was reading months ago about this. And it's very important for us to understand. God speaks a lot about family in the Old Testament. But even if you look at the trend of how much God speaks, it's not as much as He speaks about the church in the New Testament. There are only two or three verses, probably a few more, that you actually have to identify that family. Oh, He's talking about the family. Like Korban, for example. If you remember, there was one time when Jesus actually told the Pharisees that if you say that you want to honor your father and mother with a gift, then you have to be bound by that. But if you want to give it to the temple, then you can be absolved from taking care of your family. Remember the phrase? And Jesus says that's wrong. Okay. So in that, we can see that Jesus is talking about, well, you have to follow honoring your parents as first. Okay. So in that situation, you will find that there are many teachings on the family. But you know, more than half the New Testament is talking about the church. So which means that if you look at the priority that God has, all right, is, I would venture to say, you can shoot me down on this, but biblically speaking, every one of them are equally important. No one is more important than the others. Okay? In the economy of God, every one of them are important. Okay? Because if something is most important, for example, salvation is very important, and there will be apostles who will deal with it very specifically, who will teach very specifically about that in many areas. Okay? So salvation is a very, very important teaching in the Bible. We know that. Family is important because in Genesis chapter 2, we can go through Genesis chapter 2 about how man is to leave the parents and cleave to his wife. Very specific injunctions with regards to that. And then in Deuteronomy, how you bring up your children. Proverbs talk about that as well, bring up children. Okay? But then in the New Testament, you find Jesus talk about building the church. Very specifically about what you need to do, the pattern of the New Testament, apostolic doctrine with regards to pastors, with regards to deacons, with regards to how you need to serve. In fact, whole chunks of apostolic teaching centered on the local church. All right? Okay? Now, so which means there was one commentary that I read before that we need to be very clear that is it our priority or is it the Bible priority? Biblically speaking, all of them are equally important in God's economy. All of them. And we cannot put one above the other. I believe that in certain situations, you may have to put a priority. All right. For example, if anything happens to my wife and it's church time and there's I really need to say, look, I need to be in the hospital with her. I'm sure the man will understand to take over. In that situation, I think there's certain crisis times that we actually have to make certain decisions, then that comes in. However, in our general economy of our life, we actually need to balance what God says is important in His kingdom, all right? And there's this thing about compartmentalizing our lives. We need to be very careful about that, because I think I wanted to draw something and then show, but I'm not so good at illustrating. But I'll just explain like this. When we compartmentalize, okay, or rather I'll just give you what I believe the Bible teaches here. God wants us to give ourselves to Him first. Yes? Give our hearts to Him. Yes? Okay? Once we give ourselves to Him, we seek His kingdom first, above all. Yes? That's what the Bible says, Matthew 6:33. And then in Proverbs 4:23, the Bible talks about keeping our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We deal with all the different things that happen. Okay? Now, when we look at the scriptures, we have our family, we have our work, we have our church, which to the Lord, remember Jesus died for the church. That's why I say it is just as important to cry, because He gave His life for the church. He poured His blood out for the church. Okay? So, when we realize that we given over to God, and that all these things are actually out there, all of them, because it is God's priority, becomes our priority. But that's where we need to balance that. We need to balance that. Does it make sense? Okay? So, when we realize this, then with a heart given to the Lord, we will then prayerfully, with God's wisdom, plan our giving of time, talents, money, and service. Any questions? Any thoughts on that? Because I'm going to have a little case study. Is it in there, the case study? Oh, you don't have a... Yeah. So, okay, I want us to think about this. Okay, I just think about this. We have a family of five, okay? Some of you got a family of five, okay? 6 years, with three children. 6 years, 9 years, and 12 years. Family income is $3,000 a month. Taking into account the priorities we just mentioned, how do we give? Okay, remember, giving is not just about money, but also about all the other areas, okay? So let's assume the dad's working, mom is not. Let's assume, okay? So think about that again. We just take about 2 minutes to think about. A family of five, okay? Father working, mom's not. Family income of 3,000. Three children, 6 years, 9 years, 12 years, okay? Now how do we seek God's kingdom first in the planning of our life? They're all Christians, okay? Assuming they're all Christians, all right? So what we'll do is we'll divide yourself into groups of five. Okay, I think group of five. Group of five. So maybe if... group of five. Okay. I'm sure you can divide yourself in group of five. Okay, so group of five, let's take about 5 minutes just to discuss this. How do we practicalize this, okay? Seeding God's kingdom first. Just 5 minutes. All right? I can kind of spread out so that we have more ideas, okay? No. Just generally, okay, like for example, I will plan the week. Like this, I'll do this in my children, whatever. Yeah. I know it's very general, but I think some of us might be getting the idea. Okay? When we seek God's kingdom first, in a family of five, mother working, or mother not working, dad's working, income of 3,000, three children, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? Come, let's just share, alright? The purpose of the exercise is just to get us thinking about the priorities, okay? Maybe just as a... I think you're so excitedly sharing, so that's okay. Maybe just as by a show of hands, how many of you actually have a plan? It's okay, just ignore the pastor. Okay, maybe just generally, all right? Just generally. How many of you actually have a plan of the week for your families? How many of you actually have a plan for the week for your families? Plan of the week, like generally, like in the beginning of the week, you know, okay, this is a whole week that's going to run. Okay, what are the proportion of time? What are the things you may need to move? There are a lot of things that will happen, okay? Now, I want to really make it clear, this is not the SOP for every family. Every family is different, okay? The reason why we're talking about that is so that it will get us thinking about maybe, one example would be, if you look at some of the teenagers, not me. Okay, just hold. Okay, one of the things about teenagers who may have more time is after exams, they'll hang out. They can hang out for hours and hours and hours, 6 hours, 10 hours in the shopping centers. Okay, and how do we help them to see that we need to also help them to put God first, even in the time that they have? Okay, so that's what I'm trying to get at in terms of prioritizing. Okay, but if we could just share a little bit of what you have, okay, then we can just contribute. Okay, it's supposed to be a fun time of just learning, but also to how does everyone think about prioritizing? How do we put God first? Okay, the one that had the microphone, Brother Ping Kong's group, Uncle Roland's group, Auntie Janet. How do you prioritize your week, or how do I give to the Lord in terms of seeking His kingdom in the week? Come, just share. Why? Come. Just share in 30 seconds, all right? Just share quickly, maybe just the brief principles that you all talk about or what you all talk about. No, it's on it, yeah.
Hello.
Okay, don't talk. Okay. Hello. It's on the
button.
Oh, mute.
Hello.
Okay. I think as a family, you start off with your planning for the week, what you want to do for the weekdays, and have
what are the things that you have
for
done?
Mission. Yeah. For family, I think I'm passing on someone, but most important to me, I feel that as parent, the family, being there is very important. Being there for the family, for each one of them, when they have problem, the encouragement that they will need.
So how do you plan in the week?
So within the week, you can have, you start out with morning devotion, personal devotion, then family devotion, and prayer together as a family. That okay. should be the order of the day, the very beginning of each day, you know, when you can come up to wake up together and do all this together.
Okay.
And for, throughout the day, children go to school or have lunch at home, and a continuous need to, you know, to be an example and guidance is very important. Sometimes the kid may come back from school in the afternoon and find that, you know, they have a squabble with a classmate, and how you deal with it in a meaningful way is also important. So when it comes night time, there's a need for coming together as a family, putting aside, you know, watching TV, but to recap what they have done and be accountable for what they have done in school or wherever they are.
Okay, so touching base with the family members all the time, okay?
Mm.
What else?
So on the 3 days, let's say it's a public holiday or Saturday, bring the family together to attend as a family, as long as Christian or church fellowships is required, you know. Right. So being there is also just as important to encourage one another and then fellowship, and also knowing some needs amongst a member who may have certain area where they need help. You know, like for example, even in our case, my sister Anna who's got problems looking after the children as well as the husband. So offering help in this area.
Okay.
It's also being there.
Okay.
Yeah. So on Sunday it'll be a time of getting the family together to attend church, but preparation in the morning I think is essential. Otherwise everybody will come and start rushing and the mind are not put in the right order. You know, they come in, they still, the children may still lingering over what the teacher asked them to do over the weekend for some assignment.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you may want to put them on the right track.
Sure,
put them aside or deal with those things first before you come to church. And I think that's important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe just move on to the next group, okay, because of time. Maybe Agnes or Brother Long's group, just share what you all have in terms of, so for just summarizing what Uncle Roland just basically family devotions, probably bringing the family together to church, also personally being able to, if there's a need in the church, to be able to support the situation. All right, so just generally. What about Scrooge? Well, some gave plans for the week, some gave their general principles. Actually, in my mind, just 3 points. We need to give to our families. Because if we put God first, we need to give to our families. Whether it's in time, whether it's in money, whether it's in priority. Okay? Number two, we need to give to the Lord through the church to support His work, because that's important to Him too. Does that make sense? In terms of priority, we need to give to the Lord through the local church, all right, to support the work, to support, give financially, give time, give talents for the work, and also to support the man of God in the local church. Okay? And also to give your time and talent to serve in the ministries when the opportunities present itself. Right? Very general, but I'm sure there will be many different permutations of that. But the principle is looking at our lives before the Lord, remembering that whatever there's outside is actually those that God has mentioned, the family, the local church, and even the work. Not many people talk about work. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat, full stop. Therefore, work is important. God actually talked about servants obey your masters. So he actually gave specific principles to the slaves in those days, how they should behave in the workplace. So it means work, as far as God is concerned, is also very important. Okay? So in the scriptures, it's not as clear as just, oh, this. For us, we like to do that because it saves us to have all kinds of, what if this happened, what if that happened? You know, okay, let's, to make it easy for us, we kind of compartmentalize that. And sometimes we have to, because things get very, very complicated sometimes, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, but looking at the scriptures, the principle that I like to give us is, God says put God first in all areas of our lives. And in all areas of our life, it refers to church, it refers to family, it refers to our work as well. In other words, when you're at work, do your best. Because that's God's priority. But when you're in church, do your best. When your family, do your best. And give all you can give in the local church, in the family, and in your work. Okay? All right. Of course, you will probably have to make some decisions about, let's say, if the work requires you to work from 8 to 5, and then the boss say, okay, tell you what, I pay you if you can work overtime. Then you say, so sorry, boss, I think I'll just keep to that time that I've worked, I'll go home, that kind of thing. All right? Because sometimes we tend to overstep. I think a few years ago in Telopo, I talked about there are four. There's work, there's a relationship with God, there's in the church, and then there is one more thing I can't remember. All right, if one square is bigger than the other squares, our life is out of balance. I say that again. So our lives was drawn up in our work, our relationship with God, church, and then I think there's one more thing I cannot remember what. And this author was saying that when our lives, if one of the boxes are bigger than the other, it means our lives are out of balance. Okay, just think that for a while, because God wants us to be people of balance, okay? Which means that if all are actually moving forward at the same time, we are living a balanced life. And no, we can be an encouragement to other people as well. All right, any questions? Okay, I think we can talk more about this area, I'm sure, but I need to go on, okay? But after during the half an hour, let's feel free to communicate. We all may have different thoughts on that, but I think we cannot dispute. We need to put God first in our families, in our local church, in our work, in all our relationships as well. All right, putting God first priority, taking what He says as number one, okay, in all those areas. Okay, let's move on first. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. Sorry, it's just the end. Yeah. Okay, so in that situation, God just judged King David for his numbering of the people, and after the judgment, the king wanted to buy a threshing floor to give as an offering to the Lord, and Arauna said, look, you're the king, you can take what you want. Well, King David says, no, I'm not. This is very important. Coming from a man after God's own heart, we can learn from him. He said he's not going to give God anything that doesn't cost him anything. He's not going to give God anything that doesn't cost him anything. And you know what? Some people have extended that by a principle that if we give to God and it doesn't cost us anything, it's not really giving, it's just a donation. If we give to God something that makes us ouch, that's what God is after. You know, because it represents our love for Him. So some thoughts in mind. In Luke chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, I'll just read. Jesus was referring to the widow's mite, okay? Of a truth I say unto you that this widow hath cast in more than they all. The widow only cast in a few cents. Literally, in our monetary context, probably about 15 cents, Singapore. But Jesus says, look, those millionaires may have cast in $5,000. It hasn't given as much as this widow has given 15 cents. It helps us to see what is God's perspective on our giving. Amount doesn't matter to God. It's how much we have left that matters to God. This widow had nothing left for herself, literally. He has cast in, Jesus said, all a living. I'll just read, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of a penury of a poverty has cast in all the living that she had. In other words, those two mites is all she had to live on. You know, he says, no, I love God more than even myself. And God is looking at how much we are keeping compared to what we are giving. Sometimes you say, well, God, last week I gave you $100, this bonus, I give you $300, that's a lot. God says, no, you just got a bonus for $6,000. What are you keeping? I'm not putting the pressure on people to give more, but you know what? In the biblical principle there, the third point is to give sacrificially. Give sacrificially. How do we give? We give sacrificially. I know different people got different levels of faith on that, but you know, when you look at the trend of scripture, those who have given their hearts to God, nothing on earth is important to them anymore. Of course, they will still have to do their duties of supporting their families. Please see in perspective. I always believe duties are also given to God. Taking care of families in your workplaces are duties. Okay, but you know, over and above that, what are we willing to still give? And the Bible always teaches to give sacrificially because it's always an indication of our heart, how much we love God. Okay, so the next one, give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. Thank you. Okay, God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, what does that mean? The word cheerful literally means hilarious in the Greek. In other words, you give until you laugh. Eh? Some people give you always. Must give. It's hard for us to let go. But God wants us to give until we are able to laugh over it. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes giving represents, remember, giving is actually, what's the definition of giving? Something that belongs to us, we are officially surrendering that official right to hold on to that to someone else. That's giving. Alright? That's in the Greek, that's in the Webster's 1828, about surrendering your right, giving it to someone else. Okay? So when we give cheerfully, we are giving with the heart. God loves a cheerful giver. So does that mean, God, I'm not cheerful today, so I don't give? No, that's not the principle. God still says to give. But God says you need to learn to give to the point they say, God, it's okay for me to give you. And I begin to understand why you want me to give. I learned this in one of the churches I went to preach. The pastor was saying, as he was sharing during the offering, he says, do you realize that when we give as much as God wants us to give, it's actually God doesn't need us to give. We need God's blessings. That's why we give. Think about that. We actually, giving really doesn't benefit God. It benefits us more than God. Did you know that? Because everything belongs to Him anyway. But when we give, we are learning to trust. We are learning that things don't belong to God, it belongs to God. We are learning to grow spiritually. And as a result of our giving, we grow. We give because it's important for our spiritual soul. Okay? So the giving sacrificially and cheerfully actually helps us grow as Christians. Okay? Think about that. All right, we'll move on. Point number five, give preparedly. In a way, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Okay, so Paul specifically in this situation was actually getting the people in Corinth to prepare a gift. This is specifically to support. Apparently there was an earthquake during one time in Jerusalem and many of the brethren have been affected. And Paul says, I'm going all to my churches to collect an offering to bring to Jerusalem to support our brethren there. All right. So, but here it's interesting, not just on the first day of the week to prepare to give. Paul actually talks about being prepared to give. Okay, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. In other words, prepare yourself to give as God has prospered you. Okay, the next one, point number six, give generously. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Okay, so he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That means if you give a bit, you get back a bit. You give a lot, it's interesting. God will actually give a lot more back to you. Okay, the Bible never mentions specific percentage of giving in the New Testament. And some people have said, no, God does say to tithe. Tithing must, in order to support tithing, you must always go back to the Old Testament. And I'm not saying that the principle is wrong, okay? If you use the tithing, let's say, no, I don't know how much to give, but I just give 10% according to the Bible, which is a biblical pattern. If you want to use that as a principle, it's fine. But you will never find the percentage given in the New Testament giving. Okay? In fact, the New Testament giving is 100%. The widow's mite gave all. Okay? But of course, then we have to balance that with principles, take care of our family and all that. So some people know, I know, will give 20%, some people give 30, some people give 70, some people give 5% or whatever. God says, according as you have purpose in your heart, so let him give. That's the principle. If you purpose, God, you have blessed me. And therefore, the biblical principle is to give as the Lord has prospered you, right? That's what the Bible says. As the Lord has prospered you. Regularly, we'll give a certain amount, but when there's a bonus, I just practicalize this. When there are increases that God has given to us, it makes logical sense. According to our increase, God will give to you. Because remember, every increase comes from God. Amen? Because you can easily lose your jobs. And in fact, we're going towards that direction. Some of the Filipino brethren are feeling the pinch because I think some of the companies are actually laying off staff right now. And they're a bit anxious. So we need to pray for our Filipino brethren. With the new MOM being a bit tighter with those S-Pass holders now, some of them may just be no longer around. So we need to pray for them. And for some of them, it's their livelihood. It's supporting their family. And if you lose their job, it's gone. Okay? And so all the jobs once given to Singaporeans. But you know what? But if God does give an increase, you know what? Biblically speaking, God says, give as God has prospered you. Okay? So, point number seven. We go to point number 8 first, Luke 6:38. After we all go to Matthew 6 first. Luke 6:38. Okay, Luke 6:38 talks about, remember how much we give will be how much we will receive. With what measure you meet, the same measure will be given back to you. Okay, that is one of the laws of the harvest. The amount of effort you put in, let's say a farmer, if I just put in 10% of crop, you know what? That's all you will get. That's all you will get. Okay? And so that's something that we have to understand. Whatever we put in will be the amount of things we get out of. Okay? But in Luke 6:38 also talks about give and it will be given. That's a promise, by the way. When you give to the Lord, God says, I will pay you back how much? 100-fold. You look at the scriptures. Some 10-fold, yes, but you know what? God can give back 100-fold. That is another law of the harvest, which is these two laws. God wants us to understand from two perspectives. When we put in effort for the Lord, God will give the increase and sometimes much more than we deserve. Okay? But God also wants it on our part. That's on His part. God seeks to bless us 100-fold. But God puts the law of the harvest on our part that remember also the amount of effort you put will be the amount of effort you will take back. Example, if let's say many people are serving the Lord faithfully in the church and the pastor being lazy, I can see the church growing, right? Because God is blessing everyone. But you know what God says? I will send leanness into the pastor's soul, meaning that God will deal with me. How can you, pastor, say, I won't play golf, and all the family, the church member is serving and then you're not doing anything? You know what? God will deal with me. Because it doesn't make sense. If I put in 5% effort, everyone will be blessed. But you know what? I only get back 5% from God. Because that's what I put in. Does it make sense? Okay? Any questions on that? So, give generously, all right? According to the Lord's will. The next point is, remember how much we give will be how much we will receive. Let's look at Matthew 6, 1-4. The next one is, give privately. Give privately. Matthew 6, I think we all know this passage. Jesus mentioned it very clearly. Matthew 6, 1-4. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. The religious leaders love this, okay? They will make a big fanfare about giving and offerings. You know what Jesus says? Look, when you give, shh, to yourself. Don't do it in front of people. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. This is literally happening in New Testament times, okay? The Pharisees and the hypocrites will literally blow trumpets and then all their servants will bring in their bags of coins and all that and will dump it inside the treasury. Jesus says, don't do that. You know why? Because at the last part it says that they may be have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what's their reward? Everyone clapping. They already have their reward. So when we do our charity before men, people see, well done. You know what Jesus says? You already have your reward. You want the glory of men, right? There, it's there. Everyone is applauding you. So when we want to give for the praise of men, God says, you have your reward. But then Jesus goes on to say, he then teaches us the spiritual way of giving, God's way of giving, whereby the reward only comes from God. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Do it in secret, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Okay? So remember to give privately. That's why many of the giving in our church, no one knows. Okay? No one knows. Sometimes as pastor, I have the privilege of knowing. But you know what? Even that, I'm sworn to secrecy under the Official Secrets Act now. Okay? I am not supposed to say. You know why? Because I don't want these brethren to lose the reward or this sister to lose the reward. You know what? I'm thankful many of you give secretly. I know that. I may not know who, but the fact that we are blessed as a church, someone gave, you know? Someone had to give noodles on Friday. Someone had to give bread on Friday. Someone had to come early, give of their time on Friday. Someone has to do different things. Someone had to make sure things are running. Why they give? You know, give privately. And you know, after when we give, God actually teaches us, our attitude should be, God, we are doing this just because we are your servants. We're not asking for anything in return. But you know what? God, as the wise father and the master, said, look, I'm not going to let anyone do work for me that I will not repay. Amen? God will still repay, but our attitude should be, God, I'm not seeking the praise of men, I'm doing because I love you. But God, on the other hand, says, look, because you have done out of your heart, I'm going to give you back 100-fold. All right, that's a blessing. All right, very quickly, we'll just run through the second. What do we do? Okay, any questions? Okay, well, what do we do? How do we use what is given as a church, okay? So I just wrote it there. Okay, number one, we need to use our resources. The use of our resources must always be in line with the Great Commission. That's a principle I hold to and I hope everyone does. The money that comes into our church, the time that you have within the local church must have, yes, its guiding principle, the Great Commission. Whether for the evangelism, and after that, if you really look, it can actually open up. For example, evangelism of the two key things, evangelism, the Great Commission, and the edification of the believer, building up the church, Ephesians chapter 4. So in the evangelism, we need tracts. And sometimes tracks can cost in the thousands. That is an absolute necessity. We need to put it there. Otherwise, you've got no ammunition to fight. Just one thing. We need discipleship programs. We need to put in the money there. Okay? Sometimes we may need time for communication. We may need different things in the ministry. Different ministries. All the ministries are given a set of funds at the end. Even though you don't have a plan, the sum is given to you so that you can use for the ministry. It could be even food so that you can bring people in. That's part and parcel of the whole thing. Alright, does that make sense? Okay, so if you think along the lines of evangelism, if you think along the lines of how I'm going to use this money, always think in the local church setting, evangelism, building up of the church. The youth camp, they do need a bigger sum because right now we want to do things right, we may need a few more $1,000s, you know, it's essential. Hey, what, $5,000 for one soul to be saved. You're willing to spend that? Amen. You know, let's go for it. That will be how I would look at it. Because it's useful as long as we use it and someone else comes to Christ. And so we are using it purposefully. Does that make sense? Of course, if we have cheaper options, we also need to be open to that as well. All right? We also need to be good stewards. Okay? So the giving of, the use of our resources must be governed, always be in line with the Great Commission that Jesus has given to us. One principle I hold very tightly also is that the money that you give, it's your hard-earned money, and you're giving it to the Lord. So as a church, the treasure and all that, we need to be very clear that when we spend, we make sure there's a purpose, it's well spent, and don't spend, and then after that, we don't use it. All right, so we need to think through it, okay? So that is something that we need to be clear on. Number two, we need to support workers in the ministries. It includes missionaries, full-time workers, pastors, or anyone that is called of the Lord for the work of the ministries. That is biblical, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. They that preach the gospel should live off the gospel. Okay, number three, supporting the work of the ministries. Bills, for example, paying for this place, aircon. These are the practical things, needs of the ministries. And number four, transparency and accountability. Okay, I didn't get that from the rest of your societies. Okay, but it's important for us to be transparent. We thank God we have capable and very detailed church members who manage the funds and making sure that we thank God for Sister Felicia has been a treasurer for the many years. She has been very, very clear, very detailed, keeping good records. Thank God Sister Ason also, who has accounting background. All right, and we thank God for some of the sisters who help in accounting. So there's clear. We don't really tell this to everyone, but as a church, may I say that the pastor and his family will not touch any money. We will not sign any checks. We have no access whatsoever. Only Sister Felicia has privilege of access to see how much we have, so that she has a special password that OCBC gives to her, so that as a treasurer of the church, she needs to be in touch with the authorities on that. Okay, so the pastor we do not have, we do not sign checks, etc. All right, we don't touch money, full stop. Okay, so that there'll be no reason for this. We have been last time when the church started, we had to keep the money, and the time my wife was giving, and she has receipts that by the time we hand over to the next one, all faded. Every single receipt that whatever we buy will actually be kept. All right. So transparency and accountability. All church members are given the privilege of knowing how much we have. Okay. So that's just a privilege. Membership does have its privileges. Okay. Yeah. All right. But we thank the Lord that God has put us in the black. Okay. So we thank God for that. Okay. Any questions? Some questions. Okay. What if a non-believer wants to give to the church? What if a non-believer wants to give to the church? Is he okay? Yeah, remember the Roman centurion built a synagogue for the Jews? He was still a Roman centurion, okay? And what if a believer gives with a request for the funds to be used in a certain way? Okay, just very quickly, because of time, two scenarios. One is that the person may, I'd like to give this amount to this missionary. That is fine. But when you say, Pastor, I want to give this sum of money and I want the church to use it in this way. In other words, you dictate. For example, there was a time when there was one church in America whereby I'm going to give $1 million to your church, but I'm going to get rid of the pastor. The deacons was very wise. We don't need your money. Okay, so we need to be very careful, all right? So I'm sure there are other questions. Feel free to ask. I don't want to actually take up time. But so in conclusion, very quickly, giving does not merely involve finances. It involves giving our all to the Lord, okay? Or giving all that God has given to us, number one. Giving begins with giving of ourselves. Number three, giving to others and the ministries is giving to the Lord. I want to say that again. Giving to others and giving to the ministries, you are actually giving it to the Lord. Okay, and we all need to have the same attitude there. Give as the Lord has given to you. Okay, any questions as we close? Yes. So if you designate that and we know we actually have a building fund, so we can actually give to that, that's not a problem. Okay? But I think you know what I mean, whereby when people demand the funds to be used in a certain way, all right, and they get angry if you don't, in that situation, usually I say, thank you, you can keep the money for yourself. All right? Because when you give to the Lord, you don't tell God how to use your funds. All right? When you give to God, you don't call, God, I'm going to give you this $1,000, but I want that kind of chair. No, you just give it to the Lord. Okay? And that's where that's the principle of giving. You surrender your right over that property that you're giving. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, when they sold their land, they gave it to they laid at the apostles' feet and left it there and walked away. You know, it was the apostle who then governed the dissemination of, or rather the distribution of the needs to the church. Okay? Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this discussion. I know, Lord, I pray that these principles will hold dear to our hearts. I know there might be many applications of that, and Father, we pray for a spirit of unity even in that. Lord, I pray that those principles will ring through in our lives. Father, we thank you for giving your Son as an example of what it means to give. God, if you have given all, teach us by your grace to give all to, back to you, and also, Lord, to the brethren that you have so dearly given to us. God, we pray that even as we need your Holy Spirit to help us, teach us to be a giving assembly according to your will and your word. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, took a bit more time. We'll come back about 11 o'clock.